The following podcast contains strong language and adult themes and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Heinke Digital presents. Damocles, an audiobook podcast by Christian Heinke.
Chapter 9. The body. 15 years, 3 months, 7 days, 5 hours, and 48 seconds had passed since her forced sleep. Siv opened her own eyes again. A gray film obscuring her vision. The years of exposure had left her eye sockets clogged with the residue of the dust. She wiped it off and had to cough. Even this discomfort felt like a miracle. Just to experience the physical sensation, any sensation, was nothing short of extraordinary. She brushed the dust from her body. Then she pulled a cloak from the shoulders of one of her deactivated sisters and put it on herself. Then she walked over to the destroyed robot and wrestled the silver box from its stiff grip. She closed the lid and slipped it into her coat pocket. The robot was destroyed, and Joseph Lenka was dead. It was beyond her power to do anything about it. Accepting this unchangeable truth, Siv recognized her only remaining duty, to fulfill the promise she had made to save the girls. But first she had to get through the next few minutes. Her energy levels had been diminishing. Michael Holborn's energy level back then was worse. He has been disabled for over 70 years, but she was nowhere near full capacity, so she would have to take more lives. Joseph would not have approved. He had a moral compass, as solid as Holborn's. But Joseph was dead now. There was nothing she could do about it. She had to think of her own survival. As always. She entered the desolate hallway. A loudspeaker on the wall crackled.
"Well, well," Bridget said. "The rumors about your kind are true. No mercy. But guess what? Neither do I."
Siv wanted to answer, but her dry throat stifled any words. A harsh cough broke out, releasing a cloud of dust that hung in the air. She wiped her mouth.
"And what do you plan on doing, darling?"
She spat, her voice defiant.
"Unlike me, you don't have a physical form."
Without warning, a bullet grazed Siv's arm. Two guards, their minds under Bridget's command, stood in front of her with guns drawn.
"Just a warning shot,"
Bridget declared.
"I could have ended you, but my master wants you alive."
Siv smiled. The guards had made a fatal mistake by trying to shoot from a distance. To shoot a target, one needed to be closer, and the target could not be allowed to move too erratically. Capitalizing on this oversight, Siv dodged and grabbed an old glass flask from the floor of the corridor. With a throw aimed well, the distraction caused one guard to aim his weapon at it. In that fleeting moment, Siv closed the gap between her and the other guard, snatching his weapon from his grasp. In one swift motion, she delivered a powerful blow to his forehead, leaving him crumpled on the ground. With a deft kick, Siv disarmed the remaining guard, sending his weapon clattering to the ground. She knocked the first guard unconscious with a powerful blow to his temple. She subdued the second guard by pressing her mouth to his. She had not brought it up to Joseph Lenka, but the exclusive method her species used to nourish itself involved harnessing the life energy of organic matter. The late chief inspector would not have tolerated that. Therefore, his death was beneficial. That way, he wouldn't have to watch the well-fed guard getting paler and paler. He tried to fight. He struggled like a fish out of water. His cheeks dropped, and his eyes retreated into their sockets. Once Siv was done, all that remained was a weak, pallid bag of aging skin, steadily transforming into ashes. She felt a new energy flow through her body. She crouched down and took on the second guard as well. Luckily, he was still unconscious. Therefore, he felt nothing. His legs kicked only so slightly when Siv took hold of his life's energy as well. Then it ended. Siv had blood on her face from the guard. It came from the cut on his forehead. Siv wiped it from her face. Now it looked like she was wearing war paint. But that was true somehow. So, darling, is there anything else between me and your master? Silence. Only the crackling of static came from the speakers. Bridget refused to answer. Siv chuckled and made her way to the lab, ready to face whatever awaited her. She felt the life energy of the guards pulsing through her artificial veins. She opened the door. The two girls were still unconscious. Siv first looked for something to clean her face with. She didn't want to frighten the girls. She found a sink and a rag and washed the blood from her face. In a drawer, she found duct tape. To dress the wound on her upper arm, she used it as a bandage. She found a cannula of smelling salts. She opened it and held it in front of the two teenagers. The two opened their eyes. They wanted to scream, but Siv gestured for them to be quiet. It's all right. I'm here to get you guys out of here. Your parents sent me. Really? Mom and Dad are okay? Siv nodded. The two of them would learn the truth soon enough. Right now we need to get out of here. There are two dead people outside. They're security guards. Both girls nodded. We know them. And they're really dead? They are. I had to take them out, unfortunately. How did you do it? The older girl asked. I have certain abilities. What abilities? Enough questions, girls. This isn't over. We're going out there now. You don't need to look at the guards. Just turn right and go to the door marked stairwell. The girls walked out of the door. Kim, the older one, paid no attention to the guards. Jenny's curiosity piqued, leading her to take a quick look. The sight of the dissolved bodies made her stop and turn pale. She bit her lip. Then she glanced away and followed her sister. They were almost at the stairwell when Siv heard a yelp. Next to the door to the stairwell was a small room for the cleaners. Siv opened the locked door with a kick. Positioned behind it stood Linka's dog. He gave a short bark. Siv made him an improvised leash by tearing the power cord from a vacuum cleaner. She made a loop and put it around the animal's neck. As she did so, the dog licked her face. Whose dog is that? Kim asked. A friend's, Siv said. He didn't make it, unfortunately. But he would have wanted us to take his dog. Her name is Sam. The dog gave a short woof to confirm that was indeed her name. Hi, Sam, Kim said, petting him. Hi, Jenny said as well. There you go, girls. Jenny, you're the one Sam seems to like. Take her leash, please, Siv said. You got it, Jenny said. The presence of the dog diverted the attention of the two girls totally. Together, they went to the stairwell and made their way upstairs. In his office, Paul Scherber paced behind his desk. Bridget stood in front of the desk, motionless as a statue. How could this be? How could she have done that? She had help. Joseph Lenka sacrificed his life. That brought her the time to transfer her mind back to her android body. I should have known. That cop is sacrificing himself. He didn't want to die. Siv betrayed him. Well, I could have told him that. She'll come. She wants to kill you, I'm sure of it. Escape. Right now. Scherber stopped and looked at her. You really believe that, what you're saying, don't you?
What do you mean, Master?
Siv thinks she's won, but I have another ace up my sleeve.
What are you talking about?
Scherber ignored the question. Talk to her. Threaten her a little. Let her think we're desperate and shitting ourselves with fear.
But the situation is very threatening, Master. Without the guards, I can only protect you from her to a limited extent. I have very little ability to manipulate the environment of the complex.
Scherber grinned. Then isn't it a good thing we're not alone in the problem? The climb was arduous. The staircase had not been renovated. Few lights were working. Rainwater dripped down from far above. The girls trudged their feet up the stairs, drained of energy. After four flights, Jenny needed a rest. Sam the dog took the opportunity to mark his territory. Is it much farther? Asked Kim. I'm afraid so. The light flickered.
I wouldn't trust her if I were you.
It blared over the PA system. Who is that? Jenny asked. That's the voice from an assistant system. She's just as evil as the guards. Just don't listen to what she says.
You should listen to me, Kim and Jenny. You can't trust her.
Why would she say that? Jenny asked.
Has she told you the truth about your parents yet?
What about our parents?
Go ahead. Ask her.
Not now, Sif said. Tell us what about our parents right now. Sif sighed. I'm afraid they're dead. I'm sorry. Dead? Did you kill them? Kim asked, taking a step away from Sif.
What? No, of course not.
Come back. Only I can protect you. Jenny put a foot lower. Maybe that voice is right, Kim. Maybe she's the bad guy here. Sif stood in the girl's way. Honestly, I don't care what you want. I promise to get you out of here. I can knock you unconscious and carry you up. But honestly, I'd rather you walk yourselves. So get your damn asses in gear, you hear me? The girls turned pale, their eyes filled with tears. Come on, move! Sif yelled at them. The girls continued to run upstairs. Sif picked up the dog leash Jenny had dropped and followed them. 4 floors remained until reaching the top when Sif spoke. Stop. Kim and Jenny, out of breath, paused. This floor underwent a lavish renovation. It stood out like a fresh apple in a basket of rotten fruit. Why are we stopping? Kim asked. Our paths part here. I'll stay, and you go up, and try to find someone to help you. Why? I have to make sure nothing happens to you. The only way I can do that is to stop whoever kidnapped you.
What are you going to do?
None of your business. Go now and take the dog with you. Sif handed the leash back to Jenny. What's up there? Kim asked.
Freedom, I hope.
Thank you, Jenny said. Thank you for freeing us. You're welcome. Are you really evil? Like the woman said on the loudspeaker. It's not quite that simple. You'll understand when you're older. Nothing in life is black or white.
There is no right life in the wrong one.
That's what Dad used to say. Your father was a wise man. The quote is from Theodore W. Adorno. I heard him speak once in Frankfurt. Our father? No, Adorno. That was in 1958. 1958? You don't look that old. I've had a long beauty sleep. Herr Adorno and I would disagree on the point of basic morality, but he couldn't imagine my circumstances. Sif sighed. Go now. Kim nodded and kept walking. Jenny waved at Sif, then pulled on the dog's leash. Come on, dog. Sif watched her for a moment. Then she turned to the door in the renovated hallway. Paul Scherber was waiting for her behind that door. And Bridget, of course. But she hadn't survived all these endless years to fail now. She opened the door and entered. The door opened. The door underwent renovation, just like the entire floor. It smelled of painted walls and carpet glue. The hallway could be in any office building. Sif thought she could smell the faint aroma of boiled coffee. Despite her tension, regaining the ability to perceive something after over 10 years was pleasant. She had missed her body. Maybe that was why she reacted strongly to all sensory input. The carpet felt soft under her feet. Then that feeling changed. The carpet was wet. Her feet now made a sucking sound with every step, as if she was stepping on wet moss. She heard water running somewhere. Someone had flooded these offices. Her wet feet felt cold, but Sif enjoyed that too. She took off her coat. She was preparing for a fight and didn't want to feel constricted by it. Before she dropped the coat on the wet carpet, she took out the silver box and the guard's gun. The silver box she tucked into the side of her slip for lack of a pocket. She loaded the gun and took the safety off. She only had one shot. She crept down the hall. Scherber's office seemed to be at the end. She checked every door she passed, but all the rooms were empty. Most of them were offices with desks and couches for employees who were working with their implants. A room held holographic memory banks, sized for human interaction. Presumably, the lab stored the data collected by the brain scanner there. Everything looked deserted and abandoned. Bridget was nowhere to be found. Siv suspected that this change in tactics was because the girls were no longer with her. Bridget realized her words would not deter Siv from her goal. She would kill Sherber. She stopped at the open door of Sherber's office. She risked a quick look inside.
"Come in,"
Sherber said. He had taken off his jacket. He was standing in front of his desk, holding a cable with bare wires coming out of the end. He had rolled up his pant legs and was standing with his feet in the water. The rushing sound was coming from the adjacent bathroom. Apparently, he had clogged a sink there, causing the flooding. Siv pointed the gun at Sherber's head.
"I wouldn't do that," Sherber said in a calm voice.
"Any last words?"
"If you ask so nicely. How about I told you this was a bad idea? If I were you, I'd throw the gun away. Then we can talk."
Siv put her finger to the trigger. Sherber licked his lips. "If I drop the cable, we'll both get fried." Siv looked at the cable in Sherber's hand. It was a power cable. Siv assessed her options. Her body could tolerate higher voltages than a human's, but she couldn't estimate whether she would survive such an electric shock.
"I think you're bluffing, Sherber. You don't want to die."
"And I think you don't want to die either. After all, you just repossessed your pretty body." Siv thought. Other methods existed to eliminate Sherber. She didn't need a gun. Then again, she didn't trust Sherber.
"Screw that. I'll take my chances," she said and pulled the trigger.
The bang in the office was deafening. The shot hit Sherber right between the eyes, but instead of a bullet hole, a grin appeared on Sherber's face. The bullet had gone right through him. It slammed into the display on the back wall of the office, creating a spiderweb of shattered glass in the clear blue sky. Sherber's appearance flickered. The cable in his hand dissolved. As if by magic, Sherber stood before Siv, fully clothed again. He had his hands in his pockets and was rocking back and forth on his shoes. Although they were standing in the water, the expensive leather did not get wet.
"The boy," Siv whispered.
"That's right," said the assistant. He looked at the ceiling. "Bridget, dear, would you be so kind?" he asked.
"I'd be happy to,"
Bridget said from the installed speakers. Siv felt incredible pain as Bridget ran a strong current through the water. Wincing, she fell to the floor.
"That's enough!"
the boy exclaimed. Bridget appeared beside him. She eyed the still twitching Siv.
"I think you'll be all right here," she said to the boy.
"Sure thing," he replied.
He went over to Siv. The twitching had stopped. Her now lifeless body smoked. The electrocution had charred the female android's hair. The heat clouded her blue eyes.
"Yep," confirmed the boy. "She's clearly had enough."
"The master doesn't want the silver box to be affected," said Bridget. "I'll send a service robot over to collect it and remove the body and shut down the water."
"You got it," the boy said, tapping his finger against an invisible brim of his hat.
"What about the girls?"
"They're being taken care of by our master right now,"
Bridget replied. Panting, Kim and Jenny reached the exit of the stairwell along with the dog. They rushed out and found themselves in a parking garage. Inside, they found various electric cars and drone limousines parked.
"Can you fly one of them?" Jenny asked.
"I'm sure there's an emergency program. Anyway, we can use one of these things to call for help." The dog barked. Then he yowled and rubbed his paws over his head and ears.
"What's wrong with him?" Kim asked.
"I don't know. I think something is frightening him." Barking, the dog tore loose and ran back to the stairwell.
"Stop it," Jenny shouted. "Come back here."
She turned to Kim. Motionless, she just stood there. The color drained from her face, leaving her pale. Urine was running down her leg.
Jenny turned around. In front of them stood a man in a suit. Paul Scherber.
Hello, hello, he said.
Kim froze in place. Jenny grabbed her sister by the arm and wanted to run, but Kim did not move.
Come on, Kim. We have to go,
Jenny screeched. But Kim did not move. Jenny stopped screaming. It felt like an alien force was clutching her spine and tethering it with strings. Then she felt herself move, doing nothing. Kim did the same.
That's a good girl, Scherber said. I could take you out too, but then I'd have to drag you all the way to the elevator. I'd break my back.
They walked to the elevator with muted steps and wide eyes. Both girls cried silent tears. There was no glimmer of hope.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Heinke Digital Audiobook Podcasts and its author, Christian Heinke, please visit heinke.digital.